The Bible Story Podcast, New Testament. On to Rome.
A date was set, a ship found, and the trip to Italy began. I, Dr. Luke, accompanied Paul on his trip, although I hadn't expected it to be quite such a long and dangerous voyage. We set sail on one ship, which was going in roughly the right direction, and then, after a while, we found a ship that was bound for Italy, so we continued on, hoping to reach our destination soon. Unfortunately, as it was getting later in the year, the weather was less than perfect, and we made very slow progress. In fact, it got so bad that we were even blown off course. It became obvious to everyone, and especially to Paul, that we wouldn't make it to Italy that year, and we'd have to find a port where we could stay until it was safe to travel once again. We did eventually find a port, Fair Havens, but not many people thought it was suitable for a ship to stay in over the winter months, and so a discussion was had about where to aim for instead. Paul had probably done more sailing in that part of the world than anyone else on the ship, and because he could see how dangerous it would be to try and move to another port, he said,
"Gentlemen, it is my opinion that if we try to sail on, the end result will be disastrous for the ship, its cargo, and for us."
But the Roman officer who'd been put in charge of Paul as well as a number of other prisoners, and who had the responsibility of delivering them to Rome, listened to the owner of the ship instead, who wanted to move on. So the decision was made to seek out a harbour better suited for the ship to spend the winter in, and Phoenix was chosen, about 40 miles further up the coast of Crete. So, when a light southerly breeze began to blow, the sailors thought that this was just what they needed, and pulling up the anchor, they set sail. That decision was a mistake, for within no time at all, the gentle southerly breeze turned into a storm-force hurricane called the Northeaster, and it caused the ship and us to blow out to sea. It was impossible to turn the ship into the wind, and after trying for a while and realizing it was hopeless, we let the ship run before the gale. Mercifully, we briefly sailed behind a small island that gave us a little shelter from the raging wind. We took the opportunity to hoist the lifeboat, which we'd been towing behind us, onto the ship, which proved to be a very tough job in those conditions. Then, while we still had time, we passed ropes under the ship to try and hold it together as it was being battered and beaten by the angry seas. There were also other dangers in this terrible storm, not least hidden sandbars just below the water. If we ran into one of those, we'd get stuck and the sea would smash the ship to pieces. So the sailors lowered a heavy sea anchor which dragged along the bottom of the ocean and slowed us down as we were driven along by the relentless gale. The next day, as the storm showed no signs of stopping, the crew threw some of the cargo overboard. The day after that, they threw all the equipment for sailing the ship that wasn't absolutely essential overboard. But still, the storm raged on for many days, and during that time, we didn't see either the sun or the stars, and so we didn't know where we were or where we were going. In fact, it got so bad that we gave up all hope that we'd ever be saved. No one ate during that time. I'm not sure, but I doubt many of us would have been able to keep the food down if we had, as the seas were so rough. It was then, as we reached the point of complete hopelessness, that Paul stood up and spoke to us.
"Gentlemen, it's a shame you didn't listen to me while we were back in Fair Havens, because if you had, we would have avoided all this injury and loss. However, I want you to take courage, because none of you will lose your lives, even though the ship itself will be lost. And I know this because last night the God whom I belong to and whom I serve sent one of his angels to me with this message. Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will stand trial before Caesar. And what's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So keep your courage, men, because I believe that it will happen just as the angel told me. However, we still need to run the ship aground on an island."
It was about midnight, after 2 whole weeks of almost being driven mad by this incredible storm, that the sailors started to get agitated. They could sense somehow that land was close.
Someone took a sounding by throwing a piece of rope into the water with a weight at the bottom of it and letting it drop until it reached the seabed. Then, pulling it up again, they measured off the depth, 37 meters. A little later, they did the same thing again. As the weight rushed to the seabed, it was obvious that it hadn't fallen as far, and when it was pulled up again, the distance measured was 27 meters. We were heading to shore, or maybe reefs, or rocks. We were moving too fast, and to slow us down, the sailors threw another 4 anchors from the back of the ship, and then they prayed for daylight, so that they could see where we were. The sailors knew that they were in danger, and made a bid to escape and leave us to our doom, pretending they needed to take the lifeboat out to drop another anchor at the back of the boat. Some of them made ready to abandon the ship. But somehow, Paul knew what they were up to, and quickly spoke to the Roman officer. "Unless these men stay on board this ship, you cannot be saved," he said, and the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it fall away. As a murky daylight replaced the blackness of night, Paul spoke to us all again.
"Look, you haven't eaten a thing for the last 2 weeks. Now eat something for your own good. You'll need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from your heads."
Then, taking some bread, he gave thanks to God in front of them all, broke the bread, and started to eat. At this, we all started to feel a bit better and ate some food ourselves. In all, there were 276 of us on board that ship. After we'd eaten all we wanted, we lightened the ship even more by pouring our cargo of grain overboard into the sea. As the murky daylight became a little stronger, we saw the island we were heading for, but none of us recognized it. However, we also saw a bay with a sandy beach. This had to be the safest place to try and run the ship aground. So, cutting the anchors and raising a sail, we unleashed the rudder and steered for the shore, driven by the storm. But no sooner had we started to make good progress than the front of the ship rammed into a sandbar and stuck fast. Nothing was going to move it, not in this storm. Then the pounding surf started to batter the back of the ship until it began to break up. Oddly enough, even though we were so close to shore, this was one of the most dangerous times for us, because the Roman soldiers realized that some of their prisoners might make a run for it if they thought they could get to shore. And in Roman law, if a prisoner escapes, his jailer has to take their punishment. So, not wanting to have to suffer because of their prisoners escaping, the Roman soldiers prepared to execute all the prisoners there and then. But thankfully, the Roman officer in charge wanted to spare Paul's life and stop them carrying out their plans. Then he ordered that all those who could swim should jump into the water and make for the shore, and any who couldn't swim should hang on to broken pieces of the ship. Thankfully, just as God had promised, we all made it to shore. The people of the island, which was called Malta, were very friendly and hurried to make a big fire to help warm us because it was raining and cold. We all collected wood, and Paul gathered a bundle of brushwood to put on the fire. It seemed that still Satan didn't want Paul to make it to Rome because, as Paul placed the brushwood on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, attached itself to his hand. Paul looked at it and then shook it off into the fire. When the people of the island saw the viper hanging from his hand, they all thought he must be a terribly evil person, because having escaped the shipwreck with his life, now justice had caught up with him in the form of this snake. So they all watched him carefully for hours, expecting him to swell up or suddenly drop down dead. But when nothing bad happened to Paul, they changed their minds and said he must be a god instead. Even on that island, God used Paul. We stayed at the house of the leading man of Malta and found out that his father was ill in bed. Paul went to see him, and after praying he put his hands on him and healed him. Of course, you can't keep that kind of thing a secret, and within no time at all, they carried every sick person on the island to Paul, and they were cured. After 3 months, we put to sea once again, and after a far less eventful journey, we arrived in Rome, where Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. Within 3 days of arriving in Rome, Paul called together all the leading Jews in the city, worried that they might have heard all kinds of lies about him from the Jews in Jerusalem. He told them about his arrest and false accusations.
and that he was innocent of all the charges that had been brought against him. Surprisingly, none of the Jews in Rome had heard anything about Paul, so instead of being filled with hatred towards him, they were open to listening to his message and hearing about the way. And on the day that he'd arranged to tell them about it, they turned up in incredible numbers, all coming to hear what Paul had to say about Jesus. For the whole day, from morning to night, Paul taught about Jesus from the books in the Bible written by Moses and the prophets. And, as always, the message about Jesus split the crowd, as some were convinced while others refused to believe. For the next 2 years, Paul stayed in Rome, in his own rented house, welcoming everyone who came to see him. And without anyone trying to stop him, he taught his visitors about the Lord Jesus Christ and preached about the kingdom of God with great boldness. This story is based on Acts chapters 27 and 28. Thank you for listening to the Bible Story Podcast, a tale to tell media production. If you've enjoyed this episode, why not share it with your family and friends? And maybe visit our website, thebiblestorypodcast.com, and let us know what you think.